In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Last weekend, I was in Jefferson, Tennessee, at Holy Trinity Parish, doing a youth retreat for a priest friend of mine. And this, by the way, is why I try not to talk to priest friends, because they try to rope you into doing stuff. And I'm told that it went well, not by the teenagers, because you know what teenagers are like when they're in anything like that. But they were asked afterwards, was it good? Oh yeah, it was really good. So the topic was Heroes for Christ. And that's, I think, important that our young people realize that they are being called not just to be ordinary, but to be extraordinary. To be warriors for God, to be true heroes, both in this world and in the next, but not in a worldly way, but in an eternal way, by becoming a saint. The first talk I gave was about how God reveals himself to us, how we know God, but more importantly, how God knows us through the sacraments. In the last talk, I talked about several saints and how they're models for us in being heroes for God, whether the saints be the martyrs, either old martyrs from the first days of the church or recent martyrs, or confessors, people who just lived the life well, or whether they were holy Joes from the beginning, or whether they experienced a conversion and became holy. All of them are models for us, and it is possible for us to achieve that. Because remember, God never asks of us anything that we cannot do. Our faith is not an ideal. It is entirely possible, with God's grace, for each and every one of us to follow God's commandments. Now, the second talk that I gave was about the commandments. I called it The Rules on the Road of Life. And I think that's the best way to review the commandments. All too often we think of the commandments as a mean and repressive God saying, no fun for you. I want you to do this, and I want you to do that, and I just do it because it's arbitrary, because God does not want anyone to have fun. That's not true. Really, the way to view it is as God and his holy church leading us through the minefield of this life, because this life has a lot of traps and pitfalls in it, and we are constantly being beset by our enemies, the world, the flesh, and the devil, who seek to keep us away from God. Our Lord loves us. He made us for himself, and he wants us to be happy with him forever in heaven. That, by the way, is the only happiness that any of us has a right to. And its commandments show us how to be followers of Christ in this world unto eternal life. And our first reading from the book of Sirach certainly presents the commandments this way. We are told that when we obey the commandments, whether we understand them or not, we are showing and demonstrating our trust in God, that we know that they may not make sense to us at the moment, they may be difficult, but that God loves us so much that we know that he would never ask us to do anything which would be harmful to us or to other people. It presents the obeying the commandments or not obeying them as choosing life or death, fire or water. Now, what happens when you drink water? It gives you life. If you try to drink fire, what does it do? The best thing you get is a burnt mouth. It can possibly kill you. Now, fire water, that is an entirely different issue. The commandments show us the difference between good and evil. And they reflect the wisdom of God. And they never lead us astray, because God is not a trickster. He's not trying to trip us up. He's not trying to weed out the weak and the unworthy. Rather, what he's trying to do is to make everyone worthy in him. And God never gives license to sin. No one of us is a special little snowflake that has special rules just for us. You know, when I've talked about that in the past, some people have said to me afterwards and said, oh, but Father, that's the Old Testament God. He's all about rules and laws. The New Testament God is all about love. You got to say that right. Love, L-U-V. That's warm fuzzies. By the way, that's not love that sacred scripture is talking about when it says God is love. That is what God is love looks like. And that is the kind of love that we are called to have for one another. It is not love. This is why the church is not the love shack. And it is a misunderstanding. Jesus doesn't present love and law as opposed to one another. He certainly doesn't say that he has come to abolish the law. And in scripture today, he said just the opposite. I have not come to abolish the law, but to bring it to perfection. And did our Lord not say, if you love me, keep my commandments? Now our Lord, when he came and taught with authority, he certainly deepened the people's understanding of the commandments. And in that way, he perfected them by making them not merely external observances, but in addition to that, being matters of the mind and the heart. He also did change some of the ritual requirements of the old law. Why? Because in Christ all things were made clean. In Christ our sins are forgiven. Christ is the one sacrifice that takes the place of all of the sacrifices of the old law. But that doesn't mean that the old law was somehow evil compared to a new good law given by Christ. That's why, by the way, your Bible has two parts, the Old and the New Testament. If the Old Testament was evil, we would have just thrown it out. What did Jesus say in today's gospel? You have heard it said that thou shalt not murder. And by the way, that's what the Hebrew word says, murder, not kill. Because there are times when killing is justified in self-defense. A police officer in the line of duty when he has no other choice. A soldier operating according to the laws of war. The state executing a criminal in accord with a just law. Also remember, this commandment only applies to people. Be very grateful it does not apply to pigs and to cows. Otherwise, there would be no cheeseburgers and, heaven forbid, no bacon. Thou shalt not murder. Now, let's face it, it is a really an easy thing not to murder anyone. It's not hard. You may feel sometimes like you want to choke the living snot out of someone. But, you know, you learn not to do stuff like that. But it's more difficult when it's in your mind and in your heart. My personal opinion is the most temptations against charity take place on the road. And if, you know, if we could kill with thoughts or wishes, there would be bodies all along I-15. But what Jesus tells us, it is not enough not to just kill out there, but we can't kill in our mind and our heart. And we can't kill with our tongue through things like gossip or calumny. You have heard it said, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say to you, whoever looks at a woman with lust in his heart has already committed adultery. Again, it is an easy thing not to commit adultery. No one ever died from not having sex. But temptations against purity, they are very difficult to avoid in the mind and in the heart, particularly in our sex-drenched society, where going to the movie or watching TV or going online are all rife with temptations against purity. You know, I hesitate to even go towards the mall this time of year, because when you go by Victoria's Secret, you have to put on blinders, otherwise there are temptations against purity. And Jesus also talked about those who use the law to dance around doing the right thing. You know, there were those who said under the old law, well, if I swear on something, then I have to tell the truth. But if I don't swear, I can say whatever I want. And Jesus says, it doesn't work that way. Let your yes mean yes and your no mean no. The spirit and the letter of the law go together. You have to obey both of them. And it is important for us to remember that there was never a saint who became a saint by disobeying God's laws. It just doesn't happen that way. And we don't get to pick and choose which ones we're going to obey. We don't get to say, well, you know, I've heard it said, thou shalt not steal, but that guy over there has more than I do, so that's okay. Or, I've heard it said, thou shalt not commit adultery, but don't I deserve to be happy? That is a phrase that, you know, if I wanted to be happy, I would never hear it again, because it is used to justify so many evil things. I deserve to be happy. It ain't about you. It ain't about me. It's about God. We also don't get to pick and choose how we observe our faith. I got news for some people. A Sunday on the slopes is not a substitute for attending Mass. Jesus didn't say, make a gnarly diamond, black diamond run in memory of me. We don't get to pick and choose what our kind of church will be. Our kind of church is this. It is celebrating the holy sacrifice of the Mass and receiving the flesh and blood of the Son of Man, which is food for eternal life. This is not the wisdom of the world. The world that will tell you, do whatever feels good, that you deserve to be happy. But that's wisdom that leads nowhere. It is false wisdom. Kind of like fake news. Wisdom that we receive from God is wisdom that will bring us through the waters of this world to the bright shining harbor of heaven with eternal blessedness and eternal life. That is the wisdom that we need to seek. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.